the far reaches of the galaxy.
Oh, what is it?
Steve Oteo in the AM brings you Theology Thursday with Pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro. Get your questions in at studio@star88.fm.
Oh. Go ahead. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, and Steven. Like, I've been here for like 2 months. Yeah. And still, it's like, Jared Petro, Brian Nixon, and no one else matters. Theology Thursday.
Quit complaining.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. Haven't you had enough good happen in your life?
Guys, that's his fatal flaw.
Touché.
I mean, he is a complainer.
Literally.
Oh,
too
boy.
Soon. Way too soon. Steve-O and Teo and B-Nix and Steven Christian.
And Jarrett is on his way to Santa Fe. That is why he is not here with us. He's about doing a different type of ministry.
Thanks for the heads up.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But you know what? Let me say something here.
Yeah.
That this program, this broadcast we're about to embark on,
sounds so
could
ominous.
Be,
sounds like a journey.
Could be
yep.
some of the more controversial. Why? Because yesterday, Stephen approaches me and says, hey, I want to talk about date setters. And I said, that would make a great broadcast. And then my friend Steve O'Jeter comes up and says, I want to talk about
Kim Davis.
And I said, ooh, this is going to be one of those broadcasts
yep.
that we are touching some hot potatoes.
Well, I mean, Theology Thursday is the most listened to broadcast or show on Star 88. I'm just being honest. I saw the ratings.
I know yeah. you're being
you saw
honest.
The ratings.
I want to go back to what Beenix just said about us touching hot potatoes. What does that even mean?
That's
touching hot potatoes on this.
Well,
program.
You don't hold them.
Yeah, you
know, that should be the new name of the show: Hot Potatoes.
Hot Potatoes.
You know,
Jared with Petro. These guys.
Bill.
You guys,
Bill? Did he say
you
Bill?
Don't know that saying.
The no.
like you don't want to hold it, so you throw it to someone else. And I have a feeling that you guys are just going to be tossing this stuff all around.
You watch. Okay. Per capita, I'm going to be talking more on this show.
So let me
per capita.
Let me open up
Bill,
just for clarification, because last week we had Norman Geisler, so there was a lot of. Talking about a lot of topics. I think this broadcast, we're going to focus it down to just a few. Oh, and we want to hear from people. 338-3700. Isn't that right, Steven?
That's
right.
The one.
505-338-3700. We've heard from quite a few people on Facebook already.
Whoa.
Yeah, yes. Dude. Look at this. La, 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 la.
Okay. So what are we going to... Are we going to tackle the date setters?
Let's go with Kim Davis.
Well, I think they go hand in hand because it is Theology Thursday, and today we're going to talk a little shop. We're going to talk about our representatives.
Crazy people.
We're going to talk about how good, humble Christians like Tim Tebow can't get a break in the NFL,
hey,
but
man.
The true American heroes like Kim Davis take center stage.
Tim, can we just start?
Who's
that's
Tim,
a good top.
Who's
hey,
Tim Tebow?
Steve-O.
Oh, no.
We should pull up the video. Of
Kim Davis?
Yes, of Mike Huckabee introducing
Kim
Davis.
No, please don't. Is this the one with the Eye of the Tiger?
Yes.
Please don't.
Steven, I'm a big fan of professional wrestling, and I want to watch this video.
Maybe you would like to personally
Governor Huckabee, everyone.
Your thanks to the person who had the courage to cause a lot of people to start standing up.
Cue the intro.
A person whose courage exceeds that. Of 99.9% of the politicians of this country.
There it is. Intro cue.
That's not us playing that music, by the way.
Of even the pastors of this country.
I love the kitten.
That her act is going to wake up the politicians,
former
the
Governor
pastors,
Huckabee.
And the people.
Yep.
Would you please Cena help me
sucks.
Welcome to the stage.
Cena sucks.
Cena. I like John Cena.
Oh.
I like John Cena. Kentucky clerk Kim Davis, as she was
so
being released from prison, she exited to a WWE ring. Her entrance theme song.
She's got a title shot.
Yeah. She's fighting Seth Rollins at Night of Champions, I hear. Yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy your 14 seconds of fame, Kim. Here we go. 13.
12.
I'm already bored.
Former Governor Huckabee raising her hand in victory. That is her husband, Farmer John, over there.
Farmer John.
He wanted to get dressed up. He knew he was going to be on TV.
What you're not seeing, because it's radio, is hundreds of people with, like, white crosses.
Yep.
Hoods. Wait, different.
Okay, now
no, that's it.
We've heard this now. Let's talk about it.
She's bending over.
She couldn't
she's
cry.
So
it takes
talk.
Way too long for her to actually talk. She starts crying, and this is what she had to say, in her quote. God, no, that's Huckabee saying. I'm trying to get down here. Okay. Gosh, this is obnoxious. I'm trying not to.
She says she wants to give all the glory to God.
Yes.
And then she says, and thank you, people. You are a strong people.
Yeah.
And everybody cheers.
And everybody cheered. And yeah.
All right, we're done.
Okay.
We're done.
I'm going to weigh in on something, give a couple of observations, and then Stephen and Steve-O, I'm going to turn over to you guys to battle this out. Here's what I have personally. This is my own personal take on it.
This is not the views and opinions.
I do not appreciate the politicization
of
the Christian faith. I think on both sides, the opposing view are using this to point at Christians and saying, you guys are bigoted people, and they're wrong. Well, and then on the flip side, Christians are using it as a champion.
Ridiculous.
I think some the politics Christians. Of this, Christianity, though it has, you know, there are overtones to it. But Christianity is not a political movement.
Well, and let's take it beyond the realm of simply, and I don't mean this, I shouldn't say simply Christianity, but religion in general, as we talk about the politics of this. In Montgomery, Alabama, we mentioned this, a Muslim flight attendant said she was suspended by ExpressJet because of her refusal to serve alcohol because she's Muslim. She's a flight attendant. It's her job. She said, wait, I'm Muslim. I cannot serve alcohol. And they said, cool, you're suspended for 12 months without pay. So she lawyered up. She said that, you know, when she was hired on by this Atlanta-based airline, she said they agreed to a religious accommodation, telling her another flight attendant could serve the alcohol for her. But now, of course, she has an attorney with the Michigan chapter of the Council of American Islamic Relations, who are saying that this airline is, quote, Islamophobic. And so I don't want to just take it.
Well, they hired
I don't
want
to take
so
it outside
true.
Of the confines of Christianity necessarily, but this is happening in our nation with religion in general. And so my take is this. If you're a Christian and you have a moral conviction about something that goes against the job you currently have, get another freaking job.
Yep.
Like, I can't... I don't care. I don't care.
Okay,
I'm struggling with it.
And you're addressing the Christians. Let me address the homosexuals and anybody out there struggling with homosexuality. This is just another chasm between Jesus Christ and His grace and the perception of Christians here in America and around the world. You know what I'm saying? This is not just, you know, this was obviously broadcast around the BBC, all around the world.
Everywhere.
The fact of the matter is, this is not Jesus Christ. She does not, you know, I'm looking at a picture that says Kim Davis for president. She is not my president.
She's not my president.
She is not my spokesman, and she is not my hero. You know, she's sitting here fighting for marriage. You know, fighting for marriage. Let's talk about Kim Davis real fast. Let's talk about the champion Kim Davis. Yeah. She was married in 1994 to a man, okay, at the age of 18. Great. Happy days. Oh, happy day. 2004 rolls around. She gets pregnant with twins with another man.
Oh.
Okay. Then she refuses that. She gets a divorce. Okay. After she cheated, she got a divorce. She married another man who is not the baby's daddy's.
Oh.
You know, baby's daddy.
Yeah.
Then she divorced him. Then went with her baby's daddy. Then divorced that man. And now she's with this Farmer Joe that we just saw raising his hand. She's been married four times, has committed adultery, and now is standing up in the name of Jesus Christ and God and our faith saying, I'm fighting for marriage. She is the wrong spokesman.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right. No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And there were a lot of comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/star88FM, if you wanted to chime in on it, because people were saying, well, wait, what about people who are, you know, who've been living together for years and you know are not in a quote unquote, you know, Christian relationship that are man and female, would she give over license to that? What about the person who's been married six times and they're going for a seventh marriage license? Is she giving them a marriage you know, all these other stipulations and all these other things. Phone lines of course are blowing up, but 505-338-3700. And here's the thing, if we are going to talk about this, if people want to chime in and talk about what's happening in our nation, let us all make sure we do something called fact checking. because I know immediately we had one commenter saying, well, check this out. This judge isn't performing marriages for straight people. It's a gay judge in Texas, but no fines or jail time for her. But that's, of course, because she's a liberal and has the backing of the media, double standards. I'm going to leave this article right here. So Teo and I went and looked up the article. The article's from 2012. So a few years old, one. Two, we Snopes'd it. And it took all of 8 seconds to Snopes it to find out, like, actually, no, these are completely different situations. You know, it was...
The lady that wouldn't marry heterosexual couples, she would pass off that responsibility to another person in her office.
Right.
Kim Davis instructed everyone that worked under her to not issue marriage licenses at all.
Completely different situation. And obviously now, since it is made legal nationwide, this judge is now, you know, marrying whoever.
Right.
So make sure we fact check before we chime in with something, because it's really easy to just see an article on Facebook and go, oh, well, that's the gospel truth.
Well, Abraham Lincoln said if it's online, it is the truth. So
let's go out to line one.
Let's do it.
Phone lines are jammed up. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
What's up, dudes? It's Nate.
Hey, buddy!
Dude, so this is fascinating, because I actually just talked about this the other day in the green room with, like, five sound guys.
Okay.
The topic of conversation.
All right.
And I just love to play devil's advocate, because one thing that was brought up was, you know, if she doesn't want to do that, then she should get a different job, because her job mandates that she does that.
Right.
And here's the devil's advocate for that. You know, there's coming a day when they're going to mandate that pastors marry homosexuals, and that if pastors don't, they're breaking the law. So when that day comes, should pastors go get a different job because it's mandated by the law that their job is to marry homosexuals? Or for that point, when the law comes down eventually that all doctors have to perform abortions, should doctors go to get a different job because they're mandated that they have to do abortions? So, you know, I guess the question is, at what point within the spectrum of God's law versus man's law does man's law trump God's law?
Yeah. See, and on the flip side, my question is this a great example of Christianity? This woman has a job, and she's quote-unquote refusing it and looking obnoxious, and I understand that, but that day hasn't come yet, and it's a pastor versus a government official, and so she's within the realms, you know what I mean? Like, she's within the realm of the government.
But I would say that day hasn't come, but this is definitely the first step towards that day coming.
This could set a precedent.
The precedence of mandating that. Again, take this, the day has come when owners of cake shops and owners of photography shops are being sued and being shut down and giving government fines because they won't make a cake or they won't take photos for a homosexual wedding. So that day is upon us. So should a photographer go get a different job because he doesn't want to go take photos of a gay wedding? Should a bakery shut down the bakery because they don't want to make cakes for a gay wedding?
I'm glad you brought that up. It is transferring
to other areas.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up too, because of course, as we talk about the politics of it, we saw former Governor Huckabee standing with her, and then we also had comments from, you know, various other Republican potential nominees, one of them being Ted Cruz, who said, for the first time, we're seeing a Christian thrown in jail for standing up for her faith. He said this on Fox News' Megyn Kelly. He said, I tell you, I stand with Kim Davis unequivocally. I stand with her or anyone else the government's trying to persecute for standing up for their faith. And recently, he was in the media because Ellen Page, an actress, confronted him at some, like, this barbecue at a state fair talking about the rights of an employer and an employee. And he actually stood with the side of the cake baker or the photographer, saying we should have the right to say no to someone. So it was interesting to see him standing with this woman, because I think they're two different things. If you're an employer and you own a business, you should have the right to say no to certain things. But if you're an elected government official that has been put there by the people and this is your job, you should do your job, right? I mean, I see it as different, but phone lines are open.
I think it's really addressed, you know, throughout the Gospels. I think that when man's law supersedes God's law, as a Christian, we are called to side with God's law. So if the government says, do this, and this is the law, it doesn't matter what position you're in. If you're the president of the United States or you're a baker, when man's law...
Oh.
Sorry.
And let me just chime in Nate. On because I think Nate in that respect is right on.
Yeah.
And that we Nate. Are required as Christians to look to biblical principles, biblical precepts to set the gauge on all things.
Yeah.
Again, going back to my initial opening statement on this, is that this is very a tough ethical situation. Mm-hmm. My problem I have with it is how it's being politicized in our media on both sides of it. I would rather us as Christians to go and look to the biblical principles of how we are to treat those people who disagree with us, what we would call enemies. So let's go to Jesus himself. And Jesus, there in Matthew 5, says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies." And then Jesus clarifies this. "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." I think wrapped up in that little statement by Jesus, we find amazing principles that someone like Kim or different Christians could be utilizing in these type of situations. You know, the mandate, the ethic to love those who hate us, to do good to those who are persecuting us. We have to understand in the midst of these type of situations that persecution, hatred will come our way. But that doesn't negate us from not loving and not showing them the grace needed.
Man, it is Theology Thursday. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Okay, we lost Nate. And,
dude, you guys hung up on me.
And then we found
what the heck? You didn't like what I had to say, so you hung up on me? Is that what kind of show this is?
He needs headphones.
This is why Shock Therapy Live is so much better.
Wow! Guys, round table discussion. So anyways, this is...
You know, and that's my big thing, is I guess that becomes the question. You know, when man's law supersedes God's law, no matter what place you're in, and I was trying to say on the phone, whether you're the president of the United States or the owner of a bakery shop, when man's law begins to supersede God's law and the government says, you have to do this, it's the law, at what point do we as citizens, whether we're an elected official or whether we're just a citizen, at what point do we say, no, I'm not going to do that?
I understand that she needs to take a stand. I totally understand that. I guess my biggest issue is who was taking the stand.
Mm.
She, you know, this lady who seemingly now represents the Christian faith according to her speech about thanking God with the white cross
and the band
raving,
Survivor
and that too, and Mike Huckabee championing her as a Christian, a person of faith and Christianity, whose past clearly is not Christ-like.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now we just as Christians look like a duality, idiots.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you know,
how
and
can
I think
you say one thing with and then live another?
And I think it definitely is a call to righteousness, but I think at the same time we can't let that kind of a mentality cause fear, because I see or hear so many Christians who have this mentality that, oh, I can't speak out against sin because I'm a sinner too, and it'd be hypocrisy. Mm. The reality is we've all sinned.
Yeah, I totally
agree. So, you know, it's like
she's speaking about family and what a marriage unit looks like, and then looking at her marriage units, which are not biblical. Like
Granted, you know, I didn't knock up a lady and, you know, have her end up having bad, you know, an illegitimate child. But at the same time, I've gone through marriage issues. You know, I've struggled with pornography in my life. I've struggled with things in my life. And so, you know, to that point, now again, I'm totally playing devil's advocate.
No,
here.
I know.
But to that point, do I lose the room to speak into people's life and into relationships and into marriage?
I think.
And so, you know, I think it's hard because, again, we're reading news stories.
Right.
And so it'd be interesting to talk to her and say, you know, did you repent of that sin? You know, what does your life look like now after that? You know, you got pregnant with illegitimate children. Has there been reconciliation in your marriage?
Yeah.
If there was reconciliation within her marriage, you know, so I think it's, and again, it happens on both sides. We read these news stories and we say, oh man, the government sucks, or oh man, Kim Davis is a hypocrite. And I think it can work on both sides, because part of this is we're reading a news story and we're reading, you know, articles and we're reading people's, again, reporters' views on this, and we're not talking to these people ourselves.
Now, and one thing I did want to point out, I think the reason why I had such a hard time with this situation in particular. You know, you see former Governor Huckabee on the stage, and this is what he said from the stage. Quote, God showed up in the form of an elected official, Kim Davis. God showed up in the form of an elected official, Kim Davis. Today, I was proud to stand with Kim Davis as she was released from jail. This is the interesting line to me. Other than, you know, God showed up in the form of Kim Davis.
Yeah, that's a little awkward.
Kim Davis should have never been locked up for being a Christian and for following her conscience and the law, end quote. She wasn't locked up for being a Christian. And I think that's what is bothering me, is people are immediately saying, she's being persecuted for her faith. And it was like, no, she didn't get locked up for being a Christian. She was locked up because of not only her refusal to do her job, but prohibiting those employees underneath her who don't have the same quote-unquote moral compass, who don't have the same convictions against doing their government job. Do you know what I mean? And so it wasn't just one person taking a stand for their personal faith and conviction. She kind of gridlocked an entire county clerk office and said, no one is doing this because it's against my God. I don't want to say rightly, but went to jail
To that point as well, the same could be said for presidencies. You know, there's been times in our history when abortion has been outlawed from the president down. So could the same be said of that? Well, this one president is making a stand for all of the country, and that's just his belief. But now he's making that call for every city and every state and every person. Well, he is.
Yeah.
Because
he's the president.
Yeah. But
he's the commander in chief.
But again, the issue here becomes one person or one, again, a group of six guys, seven dudes get to make a decision for the whole country now?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a very slippery slope when the government can you know, come in and say, this is right.
Yeah.
This is right.
Can we just tell her to walk away from her job and become like a disciple, you know, and be like, hey, look.
Well, I think
Matthew was a tax collector. He left the job, you know.
I think and our buddy Paul pointed out that I think all of her, that marriage stuff happened before Kim was a Christian.
Yeah.
So that's part of it.
Yeah.
That's something to consider. But I guess in my eyes, and we're in the trust tree, right? Trust tree?
Trust tree, guys.
Dude, I will throw you out of the trust tree.
I know. That's why I'm saying that.
I'll pull a Macaulay Culkin on you.
And it's dangerous when you have one or two people in control that can make decisions for other people. No, I'm just playing. but the thing is, I think until we get to that point to where, like, pastors and doctors are government employees that and she's elected, right? Her position is elected.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the difference would be. If you're a pastor now, and I'm speaking now, then, you know, that's your personal calling, and you're hired by a private institution. Elected officials are elected by the people. And so she truly is a representative of not only her beliefs, but other people's too.
We had Amy chime in on Facebook. She is a public official, if you will. She is in charge of ordering the books for babies through teenagers for the local public library. She said her job is to order the books that they want to read or that they need for research. The first part of that means that she orders a lot of books, and some she wouldn't bring home for her own kids, but that's her job. If she felt convicted that this was something God did not want her to do, she said, I would find a different job. Not an easy thing in this economy, but I can't imagine going to jail is easy on the pocketbook either. Not only is this woman not a hero, she's furthering the popular notion that Christians are crazy, narrow-minded, judgmental bigots. That was one quote. On the flip side, though, Joel said, hey, man, regarding the judge's actions, the measure of putting Miss Davis in prison was not the appropriate response. Her failure to discharge her duties should have been met with a warning followed by dismissal. However, judges, as we're talking about judges, you know, ruling over and making decisions for an entire nation, have historically made a habit of overstepping the bounds of their office, interpreting or inventing laws rather than enforcing what is written. And this appears to be more of an emotionally driven action by the judge than a logical one. Joel says, I imagine she held this job for some time before the duties of the office were changed, whether by law or judge's ruling. She doesn't know. But regarding the actions, I don't see the argument of same-sex marriage versus adultery.
adulterous remarriage, because there's been a lot of that. It says, it's not the job to dig into the details of each person's marriage history. Marriage is something established by God, and in and of itself is a good thing. However, same-sex marriage is counter to God's design, and therefore, no matter the circumstances or the details, it's clearly wrong, so her refusal is justified. So, we've got people on both sides talking.
And you know, what's interesting about this, a lot of this, you know, this concept as well, is that... my thought just left my mind. That's what's interesting about it. I just totally thought something and it went away. That's awesome.
Romans 13, 1 through 5 is what Andrew Milligan points out. He says it's not any Christian's place to judge. That belongs to God, and God is above all things, including the law. And God says to obey the laws. In Romans 13, 1 through 5, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And he quotes the entire thing.
Yeah, and then Acts 5, 29, Peter says we must obey God rather than men.
Right, yeah. So it's interesting. That's why I think it's a really good Theology Thursday to talk not only about this, but we were also going to talk about date setters, if you will.
But you have another call.
We do.
I'm sure someone wants to chime in on this.
Phone lines jamming.
I want to hear what Brian has to say about this.
Oh, they keep cutting me off.
Theology Thursday, hello.
Oh, they do that?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning!
So I just want to give my 2 cents, see if I'm right in thinking, but first I want to say Steve will agree with you 100%.
Okay.
She should have resigned, and to be honest, I think it's good that she went to jail. But anyways...
hey, what's up, Hillary?
Going back to the cakers, you know, with the cake and all that. Although I do believe that business owners should have that right to say no if they feel convicted without, you know, government stepping in. But at the same time, it's kind of, you know, both Kim Davis and those bakers kind of almost solidify the fact that, you know, what people think of us as being bigots. Because the way I see it, you know, Jesus, he sat down and ate dinner with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, whatever, and here you are not baking a cake for someone. You know, I think, you know, do things in love, you know, but, I mean, I don't think just denying someone the cake is the right way to go about it.
Well, I don't mind eating cake with a gay person, like, but I'm
not
going to bake a cake
for them. I don't know if I'm thinking the wrong way or not, but, you know, that's...
Right on, man. That's okay. It's a good thought, good question, good talk.
Yeah. You know, and what's sad to me is we live in a culture where anytime a Christian vocalizes their opinion or their belief, they're labeled as a bigot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's – now again, there's a lot of Christians that are saying, oh, poor Kim Davis. I'm not saying poor Kim Davis. Do I think that she should have taken a stand? And, again, if she would have gotten fired, okay, you know what? Good. You didn't do the job. You get fired. That's part of the persecution of being a Christian. Getting thrown in jail again is too far of a measure. But a lot of people are saying poor Kim Davis. But also in the other spectrum, a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, these poor homosexual couples, they just want to get married and it's not their fault, and you know, so, but that's not really the case. The homosexual community, the LGBT community, the leaders of that have made it very clear that they are targeting Christians, that they are targeting Christian businesses, they are targeting those who will not perform gay marriages, these kind of things. They're targeting them for the purpose that they want to have a war on the Christian worldview. And the leaders of the LGBT community have made that extremely clear that they are doing that. And so it's not just this thing that, oh, you know, why is it that these Christians are somehow coming out of the woodworks that aren't baking cakes and aren't taking photographs? Well, the reason they are is because the organizations themselves are trying to find those people to make an example of them, to bring it in the news, to use their power to get them thrown out or sued or fined. And so it really is a war on the Christian worldview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would summarize it as speak the truth in love. You know, we have to speak the truth. That's our obligation as Christians. We're to proclaim the truth, but we have to do it in love. You know, regarding Kim Davis, you know, my whole idea on that is I don't even want to weigh in on it at this point because it is such, to me,
divisive,
it's a political zoo.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a political zoo. I think what I would have done if I was her pastor or someone as Mike Huckabee, I would have wanted to met with her in private. I would have wanted to pray with her. I would have wanted to talk and as Nate said, get to know her. What's going on in your heart? What's happening here? Why are you doing this? What's your rationale? Rather than bringing in the lights, the cameras, the action, and say all this, I think a lot of this could have been offset. Now, regarding the judge, I also agree with our person who put that up. You didn't say their name, Steve-O, but I think the judge went too far to throw her in prison. Any other workforce environment, particularly in the public realm, you do get a warning. Mm-hmm. You do go through a process whereby you say, hey, listen, step one, we're going to talk to you. We're going to work this out. If you continue to do that, then we're going to dismiss you. But to throw in jail, I think it is an overreaction on a judge. It was an emotional declaration of the judge because there is a larger agenda afoot. Mm. But we as Christians, we're still to... You know, speak the truth in love.
Man, we have like 30-something comments on our Facebook page already on this story. I wanted to share one more. Laura said, this is a very sticky situation. I prayed for her release as soon as I found out about her. And now that she's free, I think she ought to find a different line of work immediately. Is she a hero? Well, kind of. It's commendable that she's willing to stand up for her beliefs, but she needs wisdom. At any rate, we as the church should pray for our nation to repent and turn away from sin. And I think, praying for our nation, praying for our leaders, praying for those in those situations. Because, I can stand here all day and say, Kim Davis, elected government official, should have blah, 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 blah. I work for a church. I have the best job in the universe.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Let me go back to what I said with Jesus's command. I said, you could unpack this. Listen to what he says again. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So I think when we use those characteristics or those characteristics become part of our life, we will have a witness rooted in truth and love. But persecution will come. Mm. And I do think we need to speak the truth. We need to speak up. We don't want to be silenced by things of this. Silence does no good. You can't let a particular group bulldoze you over. We speak the truth in love, but we've got to let the biblical mandates direct the way in which we do it.
You know, and I think when we look at Jesus too, Jesus ate with sinners, but he didn't facilitate them or encourage them to continue on in their sin. And I think that's the difference between eating with sinners and, for instance, like a wedding photographer taking photos of a gay wedding. That's showing support or showing an agreement or showing, a sense of condoning their sin. And so I think that the difference is, of course, I totally believe that we should not shun, not tell them to go away. Here at Calvary, we encourage, we say, hey, if you're a homosexual couple, you're more than welcome to attend. You're more than welcome to sit. You're more than welcome to worship. When you come and ask us if we agree with your sin or if we'll perform a wedding for you, we're going to say no because we hold a biblical worldview based on the teachings of Jesus Christ and the teachings of the scripture. And so I think there's a 100% difference between accepting and loving and promoting or saying that you agree with what they're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have so many comments. I'm like, I could get to one more comment, or should we move on?
Remember, Steven has his topic.
I know, that's why I'm like, this was supposed to be good.
I think one thing I want to say real quick, though, is you just got to be, because we got an email, and it's pointing out, that we shouldn't attack someone's character. Why attack Kim's character with bringing up her past? Her marriage units, 4 marriages, how do we know her heart? Aside from everything, why even do that? So not loving. And then they thank Nate for addressing it and talking about repentance. And I just want to say that I don't think Stephen was trying to attack her character. I think his point was the people that we set up as Christian celebrities who are representative on a large scale, we have to really take a step back and consider when we do that, because we set ourselves up for ridicule and failure. And we're going to get that because we're Christians and it's promised in the Bible we're going to get that. But when we champion people...
Over Jesus.
Yeah, over Jesus in a politicized way, which is exactly what Mike Huckabee was doing. That was totally playing to that crowd. He's in Kentucky. He's playing Eye of the Tiger, and it looked like a wrestling match. He was playing to the crowd. That's exactly what he was doing. When we do that, we're setting ourselves up for a lot that we get.
Yeah.
And so I think if we just would, focus more on Jesus rather than the people that we set up as our champions, it might... help something. I don't know.
Yeah. Man, phone lines.
Well, it really is true. And it's sad to see people use it for political reasons. And I can't stand that because, in times like this where you have nominees running for president, anything that happens in the news, politicians will try to use it for their advantage. And so I was talking to someone yesterday. They said, if we were to go into a war right before the election, no doubt a conservative Republican would win because in times of war, historically, people want a conservative Republican leading the country, making you know, decisions relating to the safety of America. Well, in times of economic downfall, historically, you know, liberal presidents get elected because the people who are feeling the pains of poverty want somebody in a big government mentality to give them more. And so it's sad to see when things like this, political candidates use that and say, man, I can hopefully ride this to an election. And that, you know, that's the wrong motive within that.
And I think that's what it all comes down to is this government official, and we're talking politics, we're talking religion, we're mixing it all together.
We're having the conversation that people tell you to never have.
I know, right?
Good. My
favorite comment of the morning comes from Facebook. Aldo says, you know, I go to Walmart to purchase bacon and the Jewish employee tells me he can't sell it to me because it would be counter to his deeply held religious beliefs. Is that okay? I go to Walgreens for condoms and the Catholic employee tells me she can't sell me these condoms because birth control is against her religion. Is that okay? To me, it's simple. Kim Davis was voted into office by a group of her peers to uphold the law, not to uphold her strongly held religious convictions, not to spread the gospel. She was voted into office in a democratic society that says we live in a melting pot and sometimes you may have to interact with people you disagree with. Her religion should not hold weight in her ability to do her government-elected job. If she wants to work in a place where she can deny people services due to her deeply held religious beliefs, I encourage her to apply Hobby Lobby.
Man, I'd look at Daniel's life in that realm. No.
It was comical! Shut up and
talk
get
about
out!
Hobby.
It's Theology Thursday!
Hobby Lobby. That was.
I would have recommended Chick-fil-A because of the food over, you know, knitting, but...
It's not just knitting at Hobby Lobby.
If we're, again, talk about government elected officials and government officials and people who are having a job. Daniel very clearly stood against what he...
He did.
And I mean, talk about a guy in the Bible who is very much praised for that within the Bible. Daniel did that numerous times throughout his, throughout his political career.
If you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. I was trying to wrap it up. I was being funny.
It was good. I saw what you did there.
Thanks, man. It is Theology
Thursday.
You
bagged on Hobby Lobby. There's not just knitting.
I get my art supplies
from Hobby Lobby. Yeah, I get my canvases,
man,
my paint.
We know who Steve was voting for next year.
Hobby Lobby.
Oh, man. Kanye 2020. That's all I know, man.
By the way,
Swift.
Let me just say, to Hobby Lobby's credit... They actually are building a Bible museum in the Washington, D.C. area. Yeah. That gentleman has done more to salvage some of the ancient manuscripts than a lot of people. Yeah. So I say long live the knitters.
Hey, you know what? I was just kidding, jerk. Gosh, you guys take everything I say so seriously. I've only been doing this for like 13 years.
I want so many t-shirts made of conversations we've had on this show.
Oh,
long live the knitters would be one of them.
Live the knitters.
You know?
Oh, man. Well,
hot potato this country.
But long live, really? Because according to one pastor, we're going to be dead within, 2 weeks?
Nice transition, Steve.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Is this a Blood Moons thing, Stephen? I think so.
Steven, you've got to give some background, though, Stephen.
Oh, he started the conversation 40 minutes ago, and I detoured into Kim Davis.
Fill our listeners into what precipitated your thoughts.
All right, so apparently now we have on YouTube, because I feel like that's where all the that's where all the credible sources hang out. There's a September 23rd is a very controversial day within the YouTube society, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it. No, I'm just kidding. They would hate that. Anyway, the Shemitah is coming up, and it's the what? Yep, the Shemitah.
The Shemitengreet.
The Shemitengreet.
7 o'clock tonight. Need to breathe. No.
So a lot of debate is surrounding this date. It could be several things. Some people say it's the rapture. Some people say that it's, you know, kind of the beginning of the judgment of Christianity. But I've compiled a list of things that are going to happen September 23rd, and I think you guys are just going to appreciate this. Okay. This is kind of what's going to happen this month, compiled by, you know, different YouTube people.
Okay.
And of course, every single one of them starts with, you know, no man knows the time or date,
right?
But I'm sure on this, okay?
Yeah.
There's a meteor that's going to hit the Atlantic Ocean, causing a tsunami.
Okay.
That's going to happen, okay?
Yeah.
Apparently, no astronomer has seen this, and if so, if they've seen it, and they're not telling anybody.
Well, no, why would they warn
people? And the government,
people?
Or the Illuminati, or somebody's telling everybody to keep it under wraps.
Yeah.
I'm saying if it's this close,
know what I'm saying? If a comet is this close, right, about to hit us in 10 days,
dude,
is there not some kid out there going,
but here's the deal. What's that thing hanging What's over that? The Sandias in the morning? I'm serious. And when it's dark, has anybody noticed that giant thing in the sky?
It's called the moon, Steve.
That's why after this, I'm going out on the street with a repent the end is near sign.
I'm serious.
If there was a comet that close, Elijah Wood would walk out with the telescope and he would see it, and then Morgan Freeman would be our president, and it would be called
I side with Armageddon.
That is a great segue into the one of the reasons September 23rd.
Oh, okay.
Deep Impact, the movie.
Okay.
Yep.
Amen.
There is a movie, obviously the movie Deep Impact. The coordinates are 1323 or 13, you know, or, I'm sorry, 823-16.
Did Nicolas Cage write this?
8-23-16, that's August 23rd, 2016.
No, look, sorry, 13-23. Anyway, it's giving the coordinates.
What's up, Chuck Missler?
Hey, I'm doing it.
That's
I'm
what
telling
we're
you
about.
What that's why it's. And whatever these coordinates are predicting in the movie. Okay, it's going to hit. One of them says it's going to hit the Hoover Dam.
The
okay.
coordinates.
Oh, man.
Okay. Yeah, the coordinates in the movie are 13-23-52.3/54-56-16. That's exactly
go.
What's in the movie.
Okay.
Hitting, yeah.
And that's like, it's northeast coast of South America in Deep Impact.
I love it.
And that's on this day?
Yes.
It hits on this day?
Okay. There's also a TV show by the BBC called In the End Day that predicts it's going to be 9/23, several references, a pandemic, earthquakes. Then also there's the time of the rapture. Somebody says that this is going to be the rapture. This is the first step is the breakdown of all archaeological knowledge. The day, September 23rd, another person said this is the day that the Jews will recognize Jesus as Lord. Okay, I don't know how that happens. This is a true story. The Pope is going to visit Washington, D.C. Get that, 9/23/15. But nowhere in the Bible is America mentioned. It may be mentioned there is something of land that is divided by a river. There are many countries. Now, how Obama or the Pope or Washington, D.C. have anything to deal with this, I don't know. I'm just reporting the news.
Okay? Thanks for the end times, Obama.
Yeah, for real. The UN will begin their session on 9/15/15.
Ooh, that's like 5 days from now.
Yeah.
Okay. What does that have to do with the
23rd? I don't know. I'm just telling you. Though. See, that's what I'm saying. They weave things together that make no sense.
But since,
you know.
It's the UN Assembly, which means unassembly.
You know what happens? Tomorrow, the new M. Night Shyamalan film, The Visitor, comes out, right?
Wait, I'm getting to that.
Isn't that The Visit?
I got some more for you. M. Jade Helm ends on 9/15. This is apparently alarm people.
Okay.
Yeah, got it. Tomorrowland movie. Wait, I'm going to read the whole part of this because this is pretty incredible. Tomorrowland is a Disney movie that is scheduled to be released on 5/22/15. The numbers 9/23 are shown in two different trailers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Wait. That's...
The numbers on the clock show 0063/09/23, 13.63 plus 13 equals 76, possibly indicating the Hebrew year of 5776.
And this further solidifies my view
that
Mickey Mouse is the Antichrist.
The trailers this guy goes on to say the trailers also show rioting and looting, catastrophic weather, a Western USA volcanic eruption. $4, and he also pointed out the gas shows above $4 a gallon.
Steven,
coming to the end.
While you're putting all this together, are these variety of people on YouTube or just one or two people?
No, this is a variety. This is a variety.
But they're all saying that they're finding signs in Hollywood, in science, and everything
to try
to prove that September 23rd is the end of the world.
And they're saying right around this area.
Meanwhile, this is actually all publicists for these movies who want people to go watch their movies again.
That is
M. Night's new movie.
Well, they point out that there's a festival in Atlanta that's happening right around that date. A French ambassador said, this is kind of funny. The French ambassador said, there's 500 days countdown, and apparently, there's going to be a climate chaos. Well, that was 500 days before, right around there.
Yeah.
So September 23rd is the end. And then the guy quickly clips to Obama talking about climate catastrophes and stuff like that. And so what I'm saying is these people are taking a number.
Right.
And then they're weaving things around it. Now, I had a good conversation with Jared Pedro.
Yeah.
Who is, and he is saying, hey, man, there are a lot of coincidences. There's feasts. There is. I'm not denying that there's not,
kind of coincidences.
Right.
But that's what they are to me, is coincidences. Yeah. And here's the point I'm kind of getting to. What is the purpose? Because if the purpose is to lead other people to Jesus Christ by
fear mongering
or brimstone,
brimstone.
What happens September 24th when this doesn't come around? If you led them to the Lord, their first inclination of Jesus Christ or the people that sent them are suddenly, you're lying. Yeah. If the point of this is to predict and warn, please don't do it with fear. Do it with love, saying, oh my gosh, Jesus is coming back. It should be exciting. The rapture to me has never been, well, as a child, it was very fearful. But now it's a very much, I'm looking forward to it, more of like, that's awesome, we're going to be with Jesus. Not, oh crap.
Right.
Oh no.
And man, you know? I think it inspires more of an attitude of righteousness and holiness when you don't know when God's coming back.
Right.
When you know God's coming back, it's like, all right, I can do whatever the heck I want to until midnight on 9/22. Then I say a quick prayer and I'm good.
Yeah.
When you don't know the day or the hour, that inspires much more a sense of righteous living and holiness.
Or it should.
Because it's like, man, I don't know when Christ is coming back. Knowing a day, and I think that's why no man knows the day or the hour, because if every man knew the day or the hour that Jesus Christ was coming back, I think you would have a lot of unholy living up until that point.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, that's why you see a lot of lifestyle changes and a lot of reversals in thought and mind when somebody's diagnosed with cancer, when somebody's given some bad news from a doctor, and then it's like, I gotta get everything in
order.
It's
a life change, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, truly.
And,
so,
you know, it's so funny when you talk about this whole concept, too. This is one of the reasons why I said it a couple weeks ago when I was teaching, is that I can't stand it when you have pastors and religious leaders that, again, misinterpret the Bible and give false representations of the Bible, because you have so many people who are well-meaning believers who hear that, and they're like, oh man, what they said makes sense, and what they just said about those numbers, that makes sense, and so now I'm going to believe that. And then what it can do is, by these religious leaders saying stuff like that, is it can drive people away from Christ, because then they begin to think, well, if that's a lie, then what else in the Bible's a lie?
Exactly. And it brings me to another point that I was thinking about. You don't see men of the faith like Ravi Zachariah, Skip Heitzig. You don't see them coming out on Twitter and going, everybody, September 23rd, because they have more common sense than that.
And they delete their tweets really quick when they do that.
Yeah. So my question is, you know, like, we had a caller call in the other day, and somewhere in Albuquerque is a pastor who had a whole sermon here in Albuquerque about how the rapture starting September 23rd. And I said, you know, please give me your pastor's name, because I want to have a conversation on him. With him on September 24th.
I'm going to have a conversation on that fool.
On that fool, yep. With a fisticuff. No, I'm just saying, why? Can somebody explain to me why the people feel the need to do this? Because this isn't the first one. This is
trying to rationalize crazy. You can't rationalize crazy.
No. I literally want to know why do pastors do this? Because if I went to a congregation and he predicted that wrong, if he said September 23rd, this is it, I would never go to the church again. So why, as a pastor, would you do this?
Big business.
There's got to be a logical.
Well, Brian, you did that one time, so why don't you tell us why?
Yeah, the four times I did it, Stephen.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I think just like Mike Huckabee orchestrated a situation, and I'm not letting the blame on him, but just
Huckabee 16, bro.
He was totally manipulating that situation and that crowd to his own end. A lot of times, these goofy pastors, the most popular story in America from the Bible is end times.
Mm-hmm.
It sells more than any other story. You got movies. You got music.
Left Behind started as a trilogy and ended with 12 books.
Yeah, it sells the most. So honestly, if I was a pastor and I was crazy and I needed to pack people in the seats, I would go in and start predicting the end times.
Sure, but that's fine. That's fine up until that date.
Yeah, but maybe that's what he's trying to say, is they're not actual pastors.
That's
maybe they're
saying
just wolves who want your money. Because when the last time they were saying, hey guys, it's the end times, give us all your money because you're not going to need it.
Exactly. And I think
this
goes
some billboards,
More than just to end times. It really goes to the question of, why do false prophets give out false prophecies? Because really it's a prophecy that they're proclaiming, a false prophecy by doing this. And this goes back, and I'd love to hear Brian, you know, give his 2 cents on this, but it really goes back to the times of Jesus and the times before that, when you'd have false prophets that would just throw out false prophecies, and the reason behind doing that was really power. They really just wanted that power to do so. But I'd love to hear Brian.
You just stole it, Nathan, or alluded to it. Matthew 24. I mean, I would have all our listeners go to Matthew 24, and Jesus starts the whole discourse with those very words: "Take heed that no one deceives you." And a lot of that is deception. These are false prophets who, on one hand, will take one verse out of Matthew 24 and says, hey, no one knows the day or the time, but then they begin all these lists. But Jesus starts off this whole discourse about the signs of the time and the end of the age, saying, don't let anyone deceive you. Then he begins his exposition through the rest of Matthew 24 on what these end time scenarios will look like. And then Jesus summarizes it by saying, but that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So Jesus gives us signposts, if you will, indicators, but he's not, you know, time testing. He's not giving us calendar specific elements. I think anytime you hear someone give a calendar specific day, you should run.
Yep.
You should run because it is clearly something that is going against the teachings of Jesus specifically. And on this note, a lot of people have done this. It goes back to early Jehovah Witness, their prophetic utterances. It goes back to some even early Seventh-day Adventist predictions. It goes even more modern times. And the reality is people have always picked a day and they've always been wrong. Mm. So turn to the Bible, specifically Matthew 24. And don't be deceived.
Solid way to end. It is, man, somehow 9:53.
No, it's not.
And we are out of show. Yeah. Unreal.
Doggone it.
Okay, can we like cliff note? No, we don't want to cliff note it. Can we pause this until next week since we know we're still going to be here next week and continue this discussion?
I think we should.
It didn't get it to do. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast. Star88.fm, Theology Thursday section. There you'll find the gamut of all things we've discussed previously.
Yeah. So
resources.
Good. I'm going to go on my Kim Davis blog now
Pastor
and incite rebellion.
Nate, thank you. Incredible. Nizzle.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey.
All right.
We did
Steven,
it.
Until so. Next week. There you go. Janae, thank you for your words.
Thank you, Janae.
Right. Cool. There you go. That's it for us. Till next week.
Goodbye.
Thursday is intended to be an informational, Bible-based discussion on issues and questions that listeners present. Hosts, pastors, and guests attempt to provide reliable, accurate information. If you have additional questions or concerns, please contact the pastoral staff at Calvary Albuquerque.